Hello everyone, this is Ryan Hoover with Product Hunt Radio. I'm here at 500 Startups again for the second time with Eric, Camille, and Rob. What's up? How's it going?
Good, how's it going with you?
How are you?
Doing really well. I'm exhausted. It's been a long week. Yeah. I'm taking a nap right after this. And that's exactly where I'm going straight
that
to my bed.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. I know.
I'm going to a volleyball game, so I wish I was going to a nap.
Oh, yeah. I kind of want to do both now. Yeah. Nap, then volleyball.
Yeah. Or nap at the volleyball game.
Yeah, I may do that, actually.
Yeah. So you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Sure. I'm Rob Hayes. I'm a partner at First Round Capital. First Round Capital is a seed stage venture fund. We're about 10 years old. Started on the East Coast in 2005. I opened up the West Coast office here in San Francisco in 2006. So I've been here for about 8 years, kind of keeping the West Coast fires burning. And in that time, we've grown from me to a team of well over 20 with a couple other partners out here and our platform team, who's focused on really building tools and services and nurturing the community of companies that we invest in.
Great. And Camille, you joined, has it been a year?
It's been almost a year. I started at the beginning of November last year. So yeah, so I'm Camille. I run the First Round Review, which some of you out there might be familiar with. And what Rob did fail to mention is that he actually led the first round ever in Uber. So I'm actually pretty excited to be here on the show with him. I know he doesn't mention that a lot, but it's a pretty cool factoid. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Review, it is a content platform that we run to help entrepreneurs learn from the best in the business. All kinds of things they need to know to build great careers in companies and tech. So I've been familiar with Product Hunt since the beginning, and it's been so exciting to see you guys grow.
And you wrote a fantastic piece about Product Hunt.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yes, it was fantastic because I had the benefit of Ryan's mind.
So, I mean, I've been reading your stuff, I don't know, when you first started, I think. I've been following First Round Review, and it's always, what I appreciate about it is it's very in-depth and it's very focused on, like, actionable information and not just fluffy internet, interviews. Yeah.
I think that everything that we do on the, everything that we do with the companies, from a board meeting to a dinner to a review article, is we want people to walk out of the room or finish reading that with something that they can take back to their companies and use right away, as opposed to, high level strategic, kind of musings, which aren't necessarily that useful, especially the very early stage companies that we invest in, who are not spending a lot of time with, musing, right? They're doing. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure shit out. So
yeah. Eric, are you awake? This has been a crazy week for
us. Yeah. This has been very crazy. But I'm also gonna take a nap.
I know.
Congratulations.
This is gonna be a good Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. So Camille, you were talking about surprise you were using thinking about recently.
So the one that we're really excited about this week is called Snowball, and I think that it was on Product Hunt about a couple of days ago, and it made number 3 on the list, and it's an investment that we've been really excited about and excited to announce for a while. And what it does is it aggregates all of the different types of messages that you might receive, on Facebook, your email, that puts all together into one stream, so that you can really see what's going on with one glance, and we have high hopes for it.
Absolutely. I think that, when I look at just the services I use, and I use a lot, compared to what my kids use, right? And they're going to be, and they're always adding new ones and taking away new ones, and also, hiving off one set of friends and another set of friends, and so they're gonna love this app.
Yeah. So I had known Anish for a while, but we never met in person until maybe 6 months ago or something at the Google Ventures office. That's where he was working out of before they launched Snowball. Mm-hmm. And he was saying he was working on a new messaging app, and I saw it. And it was actually before they really nailed down the design of it and had the what is it, a Yeti? Or is it...
I think it is an anthropomorphic snowball.
Yeah.
So they have a mascot. So guaranteeing...
It's way better than any Olympic mascot ever.
Exactly.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Right? Well, the landing page has a little mascot like peeking around the phone. It's fun. So it's got some character.
It's so cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one that we're watching really closely and excited about.
Absolutely.
What's interesting about that, though, is it's Android first, which a lot of companies here in the Valley, everyone is iOS first, and they're really focusing on that. So it seems like there's a lot of room in the Android ecosystem for innovation. And you can't do what they're doing on iOS right now. Just, you can't. So I don't know what their plans are for expansion and what that will look like on iOS eventually, but...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think that the Android-first strategy has really attracted a lot of good attention to them, just because it's differentiator, you know, and excited to see what they do with that, because there is so much more possibility in a lot of ways.
What do you use for messaging?
I personally, and then I'll let Rob answer, I am not super sophisticated with my messaging. So basically SMS, and then we use Slack at the office, and I'll let Rob talk a lot about that because we're super enthusiastic about Slack.
Yeah, no, we're big Slack users. I'm an old guy, right? So I'm still an iMessage user, but I use iMessage on all platforms, right? And so that's the thing that I love about it is, like, I, you know, as opposed to my kids who use like some cryptic set of symbols to respond to me.
You mean emojis?
Yeah, no, it's not emojis. It's just like there's this new language that's erupted, which is like, you know. So, you know, like, okay is now KK, right? And it's KK, right? And the other thing is, 10 years ago, when I was on just using SMS, I would respond to, you know, questions with a Y for yes or N for no. And now when my kids ask me something, they'll ask, you know, if they can buy a book on a Kindle, and I'll respond with a Y, and they'll go, well, because I've already read the first three of these, and I wanted to get the... And I'm like, no, not Y, W-H-Y, but yes, that's a yes. For me, Y is a yes. And so we're creating this, like, you know, decoder ring. But then in the office, we use Slack all the time, and that is... and. I love it because I'm in and out of the office a lot, and it allows me to kind of stay in touch with what's going on in the office. And it's a place, we have a kind of like fun culture.
Rob has the distinction of being the funniest person in the office.
I don't know that. That's not true. I do not have the highest karma. No, I don't know. I do not have the highest karma point.
You rank this.
What? No, we don't. I don't keep track. I just know that I don't have the highest. I don't even think I'm in the top five, frankly.
Wait, there's a karma system that you have in Slack?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
So if you type someone's name and say +++, it'll assign them a karma point.
Yeah.
No.
And it gets
or you can also decrement karma. There was a karma war that happened a couple days ago.
It's so competitive.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to open up Slack right now. Is this an add-on, though, or is this baked into Slack?
I think it might have been an add-on.
I think our engineer...
So we're one of the few, maybe the only venture firm that actually has coders on staff. And so in addition to, you know, building our online network and that sort of thing, the other things they do is they like hack Slack.
Yeah.
Right. So
we have a friendly bot.
We have a bot.
Wally chimes in every so often.
Because we had an intern named Wally. And then there was lots of confusion, and so the Wall-E the bot is actually Wall-E, like the Pixar movie.
That's funny.
So
poor guy.
He chimes in every so often with a gif of Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air dancing.
Yeah.
Like randomly, or within context.
Well, yeah,
because I like the idea of randomly just showing. Yeah,
there are triggers, but they're not obvious triggers.
Okay.
So you'll see a Slack kind of conversation going on. All of a sudden, Wall-E will jump in with. Something usually hilarious.
Okay, we need to work on that.
Yeah. It'd be amazing if Carlton got paid.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you became rich off the gifts.
Now, our Slack is very about delighting and surprising.
Yeah. So it's a way where we share information about, you know, hey, you know, tweet streams and things like that. You know, kind of things that are being talked about the companies in our community. But it's also a place where we can talk about things, and then, you know, of course we have the ubiquitous. I think that, you know, in my entire career in Silicon Valley, which is now spanning 25 years, you know, there has always been some semblance of the, you know, the alt board, right? And so we have our random, our random group, and it's
random.
It's pretty random, pretty random. So
that's pretty much our general chat room.
Yeah,
pretty random sometimes.
Yeah. So Slack, we're definitely very excited about.
And I love it because they have a great mobile app in addition to the web app. And so, you know, I can be on the road and I can still be checking in and seeing what's going on and chiming in from, you know, a distance or, you know, wherever, you know.
Have you been using any custom keyboards on iOS 8?
I have not, no.
Have you?
No, I haven't, but I just saw the one today. Isn't there one that's like at the top of the charts today that's sort of a fun alternate keyboard?
Yeah, Goji?
Yes.
Yes, I just installed it while we were chatting here, and I actually met up with Josh Williams for the first time in person yesterday, and he showed me the app right before it launched. And it actually wasn't what they were planning to work on in the beginning. They announced their funding and their new company, I think, back in April. And their idea, he's formerly from GoWalla, so they were still thinking about location and that kind of thing. And they ended up sort of not really pivoting, but moving in this direction once the keyboard, the custom keyboard, became available. They're like, how can you build some sort of fun interaction within the keyboard itself to meet up and find places to go?
I like so, that. So you can have the little coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I'm going to text you, Eric. this is the first time I'm using this. So I'm opening up the custom keyboard, and I'm looking at various icons that represent things to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a coffee cup. There's ice cream. And let's see what else. It looks like it's still loading. But there's... some sunglasses. What does that even mean? I don't even know.
Maybe the beach.
Is there anything representing a nap?
Yes, I know.
That's a good idea.
Hey, Eric, you want a nap?
That could be mistaken.
Yes, I know. But you press one of these icons and it shows different locations. Like if it's coffee, it could be Phil's or Blue Bottle or Sight Glass or whatnot. And
yeah, it looks really cool.
Interesting. The design is beautiful though. It uses these nice gradients. It looks very much like GoWalla back in the day.
Yeah, all of the interesting things that you can do with messaging now. I think there's still even more room to be more creative. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, another one that we recently announced was Swype, which was up there on the charts as well on your site.
Wait, which? Because there are a few swipes.
So Swype is one where you can upload a video or a picture, and it just goes into your friend's stream, and they essentially swipe left or right on each of those.
Yes.
And then you eventually build up essentially karma points for if you're putting good things in people's streams.
So First Round Invested in their company?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Did you find any of these through product line?
I don't think that those Snowball or Swype were.
Yeah, no. So Swype we've been an investor in for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a text message from my buddy Kevin Lee, who's always playing with every single new app. And it was Swype. It was a beta for Swype. And I was like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. And so, we did that pre-release launch last week, I think it was, or maybe this week. It's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of interaction.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We are all constantly on Product Hunt all the time trying to find new
I have to tell you, my kids, when they things. Like when I pull out my phone, they're like, oh, you have so many apps on your phone.
Yes.
Why do you? And I'm like, I'm just always trying things out, right? And
how many pages do you have?
I think I finally condensed it down to about 6 pages.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I can tell you.
I'm at 15. And of course I don't use all these. I'm just too lazy to read them. But
9.
Nine. Most daddy kids are the opposite. The kid has all the apps, and the dad's like, "What do you do with all?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of There's a lot of apps that I won't let my kids download. Right. So what my parent hack on that was, I actually signed them up. They can get their own account, but that will get their phone taken away. But I signed up their App Store account, and so I only have the password to their Apple ID, so they need to ask me before they download an app.
Oh,
how
nice.
They're 12 and 14.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how do you actually go about testing all of those? Do you sort of see what you're using organically, or like...
Yeah, no. Well, what I find is, like, when I migrate something to, like, the first couple of pages, that means I'm using it a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So...
It slowly just starts leveling up.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Then it's such, the thing is like, it's a giant pain to move icons around on an iPhone, right? So, if I'm actually making the effort to move things around and move them closer to the first couple of screens, I must really like it.
Yeah. So, I just search for everything, except for my home screen. That I keep clean and useful.
So, I tend to be, I spend a lot of time on the road, and so, it's less dangerous to swipe the first couple of pages when I'm sitting at a stoplight than, not that I ever, I, you know, there's no correlation between me using my phone and my foot being off the brake ever.
Yes.
I find that, and the other thing is, I can drive without my glasses, but I can't really you know, type.
Yeah.
Got my
glasses. You're right there in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not gonna lie, when I'm driving, it's hard not to check your phone every now and then.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you hear that buzz and you're like, oh, I wonder what that is.
I know.
You
know?
Right.
I know.
It's
exactly.
And then it's like, oh, it's my kids.
Yeah.
That's
they want they want an app.
Yeah.
So
they need to come up with a Ringley for men.
Yeah,
I was
they
seeing
do.
That you have the fashion theme up there today and Ringley made the list. And I'm so excited. I pre-ordered mine. It's coming in December.
Really?
I'm psyched about
it. So I only know the high level of what it does, but what is it? How does it work exactly?
Yeah, sort of as a segue from the last conversation is that it connects with your phone. So whenever you receive messages or calls from a certain number of people you've designated, it'll actually light up or signal to you that that person has tried to contact with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't actually have to look at your phone. So if I'm driving along and somebody who's on my list calls me, I can make a mental note like, oh, maybe I should like call them back later,
right.
Or it's so important I should pull over now and call them back. So, yeah, and it looks really nice, very high quality. I think it's the whole start of a new wearable trend.
Yeah.
There, a lot of the wearable technology is, and I made this argument before with like Jawbone Up, is people that I don't think really use it. They get attached to it for the first few weeks, but then they keep wearing it, not necessarily to track themselves, but for the fashion aspect.
Yeah,
totally.
Like when you're wearing something like that, like maybe Ringley is a little bit different, but it does show that you're like a tech savvy person. It's unique. It's different. You may never even have anyone even attached to that ring.
So Camille and I both know someone who I won't at all suggest works at First Round, who stopped charging his. But continued to wear it because it sent the right message.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna lie. I was one of those people for a little while.
Yeah.
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 Because sometimes taking it off to charge, you know, it's just too much.
But I think the challenge with those types of things sometimes is you don't have it's not actionable data. It's like, so you know, I did, you know, 300 steps today, and it's like, well, what does that mean? What do you do with that, and how does that inform you of anything? And so one of the things that, you know, another company that we work with is a company called Sproutling, and they built a baby wearable. So it's essentially a baby monitor, and it goes around the ankle, and, you know, it tracks things like, you know, heart rate and temperature and whether the baby's turned over or not, and also collects a lot of data so it can begin to get predictive over time in terms of, you know, your baby's asleep, but it's probably going to wake in 25 minutes, which is useful to know. believe me, having been through this a couple of times, it's super useful to know when you're sitting down to about to make dinner, to know if your baby's going to sleep 20 minutes or 40 minutes.
How does it predict that?
So they've brought in essentially some data scientists who do, you know, essentially time data analysis, and so you know, it starts out, you know, you start, it's individualized for each baby, and so what will happen is when you first put it on, you'll get some very, very broad kind of like, yeah, the baby may be up in an hour or half hour, you know, but over time it'll be able to predict actually very accurately.
So
I think that where you'll see wearables move to, and I think that Ringley also falls into this, it's like very specific and actionable type of data. It's something that is actually taking the data and turning it into something that's useful as opposed to just sharing the raw data with you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So the Ringley thing will be like, you know, it will blink different colors or will, you know, vibrate different ways depending on who's calling you. And you know, and there may be, you know, it's right now it's targeted at, well, it's a big, you know, it's a fashion ring that's targeted more at women than men, so I probably won't be wearing one, but right away, maybe I'll get like a big piercing or something.
Yeah,
but you know, I think that having you know, knowing that like my kids are texting me is very different than knowing that, you know, someone important might be texting me, right? So
that
flew right over you guys.
No,
my kids love me. They would be like, Dad, stop talking about me. I'm like, I haven't shared your name. Stop talking about me. So.
It's surprising how much reach the show probably has. Their friends at school are going to be like, so your dad has to give you permission to download apps.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
We just had a products teens love list. We got a lot of teens submitting products.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
My kids, I was surprised. They're massive users of Instagram.
Really?
Massive users, right? And they use the kind of status, you know, line at the top of your profile
yeah.
to, like, kind of lay out like who's at the top of their friend list, who are their BFFs at any point in time.
Really?
And so there's like they change it constantly.
So it's like a leaderboard of your friends?
Yeah, essentially it is. And so it got to the point where
somewhat buried, but they have the best friends feature, which is kind of
That's way too complicated, right? And so the funny thing is, like, my 12-year-old finally just, she erased all of them, and she just put all y'all. Right? Because, like, she would take someone's name off, and she would, like, instantly get a text, why'd you take my name off Instagram, right? You know? And
yeah, this is so, very political at that age.
Hugely political.
I think
at
every age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
She's a high EQ for, you know.
But they're more explicit. I mean, we're very much more subtle when it comes to that kind of stuff. I mean, to explicitly say these are my best friends, like, no one around in, like, our demographic does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even in Twitter, we talk about, like, unfollowing someone means, like, you know.
Yeah.
Why are you unfollowing me?
Yeah.
That's why I'm very serious about who I follow. Yeah. So it's hard to back out.
It really is. It's a real statement to unfollow somebody. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
You had to take an action.
Right.
In order to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That is really interesting, though. I kind of miss the old days of, I used to use AIM back in the day a lot. And after about like 3:30, 4 p.m. after school, everyone would get on AIM and start chatting and goofing off. And they had the status, you know, the status message, which, you know, there's only one status message at any time, and that's what you were at that moment. And right now there's no such thing as a status message, like, that we use regularly.
Yeah.
Like, a tweet is ephemeral, it disappears.
Right.
I kind of want the status message to come back.
Yeah.
Like, the other day I was on, it was a busy day, and I knew I wasn't going to be on Twitter for several hours, and I was like, where's the away message on Twitter? Like, I want to say I'm away, I'm not ignoring you,
right?
I'm just not on Twitter for like the next 3 hours.
Right.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah,
because people are tweeting at you, they're like, hey.
Yeah, what's the deal? You're usually so responsive.
And 3 hours is like 4 days.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, right now, it's been like 30 minutes, and I don't know what's happening. Like,
uh-oh.
I'm gonna alt-tab the tweet deck, and...
Yeah.
Hey. I don't know. I keep tweeting. I'm not hearing anything. I'd like at least a reply.
But yeah, I want this status message to come back. There's actually an app that hasn't launched, or no, it has launched, but they've been intentionally quiet, and it kind of plays on the status thing, but it tracks where you're going. So you enter where your home is, and then where your work is, and it's very simple. That's, I think, the only thing you could add. But then it will start sending messages to your friends and the people you're connected with when you leave your home or when you leave your
This
work.
Isn't the beacon thing, is it?
Did
you guys see that module that you put in your home, and it'll actually say...
Yeah.
You're leaving, and it'll tell your close friends and family that you've either left out your house or your work. Or
What is it called? I remember seeing it, losing track.
Yeah.
It was a few days ago. It was on Product Hunt, right?
Right. I thought that was very interesting and could be
Signal?
Very helpful. Signal.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Huh. What would be the use case that you would use it for, do you think?
I think if people knew when I was leaving work, that would be good, just because people are always like, Camille, when are you leaving work? when are you done? If I could automatically text or notify people that I was up to, like, meet for a drink or a snack, that would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of products that have been based around how do you meet up with your friends and how you coordinate and schedule things. Do you, obviously, a lot of them have tried, but none of them have succeeded that I've seen. Do you use any of those, or... See anything that's
I really haven't. Well,
no,
I don't have any friends, so.
You're too jet set.
But I haven't really used any of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Speaking of friends, this might be an inelegant segue, but whatever. You were just asking about apps that I'm super excited about, and I am super excited about Bloom That. Like, unreasonably excited about it. So when it comes to expressing, you know, appreciation for friends or anything like that, it's like my go-to. I've sent one a week, I think, for like the last 5 weeks.
I think that if you think about before the internet, or before even, like, you know, 1-800, you know, Flowers, right, when you could call up, or FD, you know, the old days when FDD was a phone service, you know, Flowers was about, you'd go to the florist and you would get flowers and you would bring them to somebody. And it was a very kind of, you know, in the moment type of experience. So it was a gesture that meant something. And I think what happened is when the internet happened and everybody started moving all these services to the internet, it's like, hey, we can deliver flowers over the internet. And so that's how they think about it, is like, you know, we're delivering flowers through the internet, but the experience of like that kind of like that moment, that gesture is just
like
absolutely gone.
Right?
Because you get on there and you're like, you know, okay, well, I want, you know, there's like 8,000 bouquets and they all look different. I know that they're not going to look at all what that shows up at
the house. And
they
show up in that big box where you have to like assemble.
And you go through the process and it's like, okay, now I want to buy them. And it's like, well, okay, there's also this delivery fee and now they're going to get there, you know, 3 days from now. It's like, well, I want them tomorrow. Well, okay, there's a special rush fee. And do you want the teddy bear? I don't want the teddy bear. Do you want the balloon? I don't want the balloon, right? So it's like it's not focused on that experience. Mm-hmm. And so what BloomNet does is they basically, you know, you something happens. This happened to me. Kind of the moment for me was I was talking with my wife. She was having a bad day, and I got on BloomNet and you know, I got off the phone with her. I got on BloomNet a half an hour, but an hour later she got flowers mm-hmm. with a little handwritten note and everything saying, "Hey, listen, I'm really sorry you're having a bad day," or you know, some sort of like, you know, husbandy thing like that, right? And she literally, she took a picture of the flowers, she posted on Facebook with this long description of what a great husband I am. And I'm like, holy fuck, I'm going to do that all the time, right? And so, and then, and it's also what happens is when people receive these flowers, they go, this is a great service, right? And they start using it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the, you know, whereas the average, you know, user, you know, on this, the online flower world yeah. is sending flowers like 2 times a year, BloomNet is customers are sending them more than 10 times a year, mm-hmm. right? Because you do get that experiential as a gesture, and there's something about connecting, hearing something with that person receiving flowers like in that moment or as close to that moment as possible.
And they have a mobile app, right? They're focused on mobile. So when you have that moment, you can, of course, access
I mean, everybody, you know, it's very smart. There's only a handful of bouquets. They're all beautiful. You click on one, you click on who you want to send it to, and then, you know, it has all your credit card and everything else, and off it goes. Mm-hmm.
I think it's an example, of technology that actually makes your relationship feel more personal and like that you're actually closer to people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if only they could automate it for you. So it could follow your wife around and they would know she's
So the funny thing is they are developing an API, and right? So you could actually write code that says, you know, so like, you know, maybe the beacon has some sort of sense of like, you know, what's going on, like, you know, if it hears, like, you know, the kids yelling at each other or something like that, like, I'm guessing that my wife is having a bad day, and the beacon can sense the yelling, and it talks to the API, and boom, off go flowers. And I don't even have to be involved, right? That'd
be
great.
Amazing.
Could you do a Slack integration? Maybe when your karma gets really low.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, your karma's a you had a bad day.
Yeah.
You need some flowers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Occasionally, BloomNet does, like, bacon and stuff, too. So,
yeah, for Father's Day, they did. I got a delivery of bacon. That was like.
It like wrapped with a bow and everything? And
it was like in a little box.
And to you with
I think the presentation.
Was very nice.
There was a kind of like a monthly bacon delivery service on Product Hunt. It was called. I actually posted it.
Monthly bacon delivery.
First box for bacon.
You could
bacon in
like
a box.
That.
Is it different types of bacon, like every month?
They had Chipotle bacon. Oh, I forgot all of it, but they had a variety of different kinds of eclectic bacon.
I think I'm a very basic bacon
kind
of guy. Yeah, I mean, I like bacon things. So, like, taking bacon and adding it to other things, but I'm not sure I want my bacon actually adulterated.
Yeah.
Right? I want it to taste like bacon.
Yeah.
Chipotle bacon?
That's a good point.
Have you ever had bacon gum?
Jesus that's Christ. Gross.
No.
Yeah, that's gross.
Bad.
I have that.
It
ended up. Yeah, it ended up in a like a gag gift thing 1 year.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
You were like, "Let me try this."
I did try it. Don't try it. I'm just telling y'all, don't try it. You ever get bacon
ice cream
gum?
Is pretty.
Is it?
Is
yeah.
It?
Yeah. I'm
really?
A fan.
I have not had
it. It's recommended.
It's questionable. I don't know.
So I'm also obviously a very big user of Uber. I use it almost every day. Probably 9 days out of 10, I use it to commute back and forth to work. But today, because I'm going to this volleyball game after later and picking up not just my daughter but a bunch of teammates of hers and delivering them back to their houses, I'd have my car. And so I tried this new service, Lux, which you know, you pop open a map, you drop a pen where you want to drop off your car, and someone in a blue shirt shows up, you know. And I thought it was going to be like that kind of, you're probably too old for this, but that Ferris Bueller experience, you know, don't worry. But it was actually it was great, right?
Yeah.
And I just they text me, he's there. I'm like 5 minutes. I text back, I'm 5 minutes away. I show up. The guy gets in my car, he drives away, and later today, I'm going to drop another pin that is not where I dropped off the car originally 15 minutes before I want to pick up my car. My car will be waiting. The great thing is, as opposed to the garage I used to put it in, it'll be like pointed, like the garage used to require me to like cross like six lanes of bridge traffic and do like around the block because of all the way in my streets. I can position the car pointed in the right direction.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, I can actually just get and go and hopefully miss the worst part of the traffic.
That's a nice
touch. So, I've used it like not even, I'd call it a half of a time, right? Yeah. So I've dropped off my car this morning. Hopefully
so we'll see
it'll
how it goes.
Be there when I pick it up, but I'm sure it will. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Is it a pay per use or is it a monthly thing?
It's pay per hour. But it's less expensive than any garage around here. So the garages around here are, you know $20 an hour, $50 a day,
$300 a month,
right?
Yeah.
And this is $5 an hour. And right now it's they're capped at $15 for the day.
Wow, is it only in San Francisco?
It's only in San Francisco right
you
now.
You can imagine in New York or.
Oh yeah, well I would never drive in New York, but yeah. I could imagine a lot of other places, yeah. Right? And I could also imagine like at night if I generally didn't take Ubers when I go out, but I could see reasons why I wouldn't want to do that. And if I didn't want to do that, having to navigate like North Beach at night with parking and the shit show that North Beach is, I think that having something like that would be great.
They can deliver back to your house. So if you're going out, you want to drive out to North Beach and then you could go out, drinks, take a taxi back, and they can do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah, they can.
Oh,
and it's great because,
nice.
I mean, even today when I showed up, he's like, do you need gas? Do you need any detailing? I'm like, I didn't know I could put gas
wow.
in the car. That would have, that would have been good to know yesterday. But
that's
now
great.
I know, right? So
this makes me want to own a car.
Like, you don't need to own it. No. We're trying. Everybody needs to know. Eventually, you just need to. Eventually, it will be Lux parking Ubers.
Right.
So.
Right. I can totally see that.
Yeah. I got rid of my car a long time ago because it just sat there. The battery actually went dry and I couldn't even start it. And I'm like, why am I paying for parking when I have Lyft and Uber and the bus and walking? I don't think they still work. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the combination does just fine.
Yeah,
so
it's cheaper.
So this last weekend I was driving down to Carmel and one of the things that I was driving with just my wife and I and our dogs and we were talking about how when we were kids, I didn't have like an electronic device. I didn't have like a DVD in the back of my parents', seat or anything like that. So we did things like my sisters and I, we played like the license plate game or, the kind of thing where you're looking outside and like, punch buggy. Pink buggy.
Where you punch each other when you see a
Volkswagen.
Oh,
yeah, that's a fun one. My kids actually did learn that one. So that was fun because you can't actually really hit your kid. Right, but they can hit you. And so, like, I learned to... I mean, I hated punch buggy when I was a kid. I really hated it as a parent because I just get punched all the time. And I'm like, punch buggy, and then, like, fake, And I'm like, that sucks. They're never going to learn that one. But
no more apps.
Yeah. But when I'm driving, I can't actually be working an app. And there's not that many, like, two people or four people apps. But my wife discovered this thing called Red Herring, which is this really basic little fun game.
I don't know that.
Yeah. It's actually... I mean, I don't know if I would ever use it any other time, but for driving, it's great. And they essentially give you, four columns of four words in random order, and you have to match... four words that like belong in a set, and there's three sets of four, and then there's one set of four that are complete red herrings, right?
Oh, interesting.
And so it's things like one of them had like clearly a bunch of Shakespeare plays, like Macbeth and Hamlet and King Lear and all that kind of stuff. But it turns out not one of the categories was Shakespeare. One of them was like types of a town, which Hamlet fit in. And another one was Scottish monarchs, which
Macbeth?
Of course Macbeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so but it's one of those things where someone can be reading it out, and the driver can be participating. And we did that for like an hour, and it passed that time from when you hit 85 in Cupertino all the way through Gilroy, which on a Friday afternoon with crappy traffic. Was like I didn't even see all the RV places right in Morgan Hill, so it was that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
this is going to be big on the drive up to the first round.
I don't know if it's going to be big, but I mean it's like it's I don't know that it's an investment, but it's like it was fun, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the most like surprising? I mean, you mentioned Instagram, which isn't surprising to me, but is there a surprising app that you've seen your kids use that you wouldn't expect?
It's funny, you know, they want it. So I am a no Snapchat parent. They want to use Snapchat, and of course, you know, they're the every other kid in school is using Snapchat, and I'm the world's nerdiest and meanest and awfulest parent because I don't. And so. But, you know, and then I was driving the kids home the other day, and one of their friends is like, oh, no, I don't. My one daughter said, do you use Snapchat? She's like, oh, no, I haven't taken the time to download it. I'm like, oh, she's totally lying. Her parents don't let her do it either.
Yeah.
Right? So there are a bunch of things that they want to use. Mm-hmm. I think it's also interesting that they're not at all interested in Facebook. They're just like, I don't even want to have a Facebook account. I decided.
How about like secret?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You can.
No. No. So one of the in the K-8s, the younger one, they had an issue with AskFM, Ask.fm,
mm-hmm.
Where there was a lot of bullying going on at the school.
Really?
Right? Yeah. So I guess it didn't surprise me that was happening and they were using that. So I don't know if that's like a totally surprising thing. I think mm-hmm. the thing that surprises me the most is how much they use email. Right, because you know that's how the schools still communicate, right? And so another company that we work with is a company called Remind, which is an app that allows you to communicate teacher to student without the teacher ever having the student's phone number.
That's right.
Via text,
or,
right?
Yeah, vice versa.
Right, and so that, you know, as a father of two, you know, preteen and teenage daughters, it's like, yeah, I don't necessarily want their teachers having their text numbers,
right.
But I also want them to be able to be reachable, mm-hmm. because I know that they each send approximately a billion texts a day,
yeah.
right? And so, and that's the best way for me to communicate with them when you know, they will not, I'm pretty sure that the few times that I actually pick up the phone and try to call them, they're like, what is that happening to my phone?
They don't, you know, even need voice functionality.
I don't even think they understand that you can talk on this thing.
Answering most phone calls.
Yeah.
Unless they're my parents or family or friends, I've been getting random phone numbers calling me every now and then. I just don't pick them up.
Yeah.
Less and less people actually speak to each other on the phone.
Yeah. It feels almost, I don't want to use the word disrespectful, but it's sort of like when you call someone, unless it's like a scheduled call or it's important, it's like an urgent thing, it's almost like you're kind of interrupting them. At least that's with, like, I think a lot of people that I'm around.
You're presuming their time and that they're just.
Yeah, I know it sounds kind of, maybe it sounds like a really douchey thing to say, but that's, at least with busy people, that's kind of how
it
is.
Right.
Yeah.
Calling just to talk is something that nobody does at all anymore.
Yeah.
That's really transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I actually turned my kids onto an app that they love.
Yeah.
And it's this one, so hold on.
Oh.
Turn down for what?
Yeah. I love that app.
Do you know Abe Dawson by chance? You've probably met him at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually driving to a thing with some of the SV Angel guys, and they showed me Abe's app before he launched it. I'm like, check out what Abe's working on. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it was on Product Hunt. Allison from Business Insider ended up writing this silly piece about it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those silly, fun apps that, I don't know, whipped up in a few hours or something.
No, it's awesome. I mean, it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's almost like a gag app, right? I mean,
yeah.
you pull it out at the right time. And so, like, she used it on my 14-year-old used it on the bus the other day. And, like, you know, like, her friends were like, what are you doing? She's like, well, you know, I'm just, this is an app that my dad gave me.
Oh,
your dad's so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You want back your cool boys.
Yeah, no, I'm, no.
Still
you will, I will not get, I will never get that cred from my kids.
Yeah.
So my only goal is to be one of those parents that the other kids are like, oh, your dad's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, because I know that she thinks other parents are cool.
Yeah.
It's just, absolutely. I'm like completely, like, I'm beyond whatever the opposite of cool is. So.
To your own kids, you have no chance.
Oh, no, zero. I'm lost to my kids until they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
Period. That's just fine.
That's all right.
So.
That's normal.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of silly apps, did you guys see Ethan?
Did see Ethan.
Yeah, no.
I haven't tried it. You should explain to Rob what the concept is.
Ryan, do you want to explain? You talk to Ethan.
You go for it.
What I want to talk about Ethan was that Allison also wrote a piece on it.
Yeah.
And there was a conversation on Twitter. So it was essentially just like, yo, an app made by Ethan to message Ethan.
Yeah.
But Ethan will give you his opinion on whatever it is. So you can literally be like, Ethan, should I wear this dress or this dress? And show him two pictures. He'll be like, totes the first one. Like, yeah.
Nice.
But it's unclear how these decisions get made.
Yeah.
So it's like a magic 8-ball of apps, with Ethan?
It's even better.
Magic
it's,
Ethan?
When I saw him in the morning, his introduction, let me just read it. And I actually chatted about this on the podcast I recorded yesterday. because it's a very fascinating app. It blew up, and I think it's at over 550 upvotes.
Yeah.
And the first comment is the guy that made the app called Ethan. And he says, "Hi, I'm Ethan, who made Ethan, a messaging app for messaging Ethan. Ask me anything, I'm here. To chat privately, find me on Ethan." And when I read this in the morning before it started exploding, I was like, what is this app? What is it? Literally, it's an app that you use to message the dude that made it. And so I downloaded it and I started messaging Ethan. And like, oh, he's actually responding.
Yeah.
And
what did you guys talk about?
I asked him what I should have for lunch, and he made a couple suggestions. One of them was Little Deli, which is not too far from here.
That's relevant.
How does it scale it, though?
I don't, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting concept.
He's going to have to outsource.
Yeah.
Outsource himself.
Right.
Yeah. Build an API, an Ethan API,
yeah.
Right?
Well, everyone, so the first comments here are like a bunch of people saying, hey, I want my own Ethan app. Like, I want the Ryan app.
No,
you
if
I had a Ryan app, I would say, hey, you know, if you want to message me, download Ryan in the App Store, and you can contact me.
I think what you actually need to do is instead of building, you know, I think, because it's done, right? Once you're Ethan, you can't do like, well, I'm going to do Rob. It's like, well,
yeah.
No, but that's not Ethan, right? But what you should do is you should do apps that message other people, right?
I mean,
so I could like randomly make a Camille app and just not tell her, right? And just have a bunch of people download it, and all of a sudden Camille's getting like all these
texts. This is part of the culture at First Round, where we like to make fake Twitter handles for each other, and then,
that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
We did a collection of...
We would get into trouble fast with that.
We did a collection of troll apps a while back. Let me pull it up here, but there's some gems in here. What did I name it? Do you remember the name of that?
Was it Weird Products?
Yeah, no, it was troll apps, like apps to troll your friends. And one of my favorites is one called Short URL. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. You enter a URL. It could be anything. It could be Product Hunt. It could be TechCrunch. It could be whatever, Reddit.com. And then you open up that page and you start modifying the images or the text. And then you take a short URL, you send it to a friend, and it will look it looks exactly like the page, it's interactable.
You're arming.
Yeah. Oh my god. Hold on. I am pulling out my phone and I am writing that down.
It's so good. So,
okay.
I mean, as long as they don't notice the URL itself in the address bar, it looks exactly the same.
Prank products.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh my god.
Actually, for April Fool's Day last year, we did a fake Valleywag article about somebody else at our office. And this would have been the perfect tool.
Brilliant.
Perfect. Yeah.
It was interesting because there was a follow up conversation to the article about are these apps, in fact, people make these apps good for the ecosystem or not great for the ecosystem?
Mm-hmm.
And you did comment that you think they are positive, that this kind of experimentation is great, and that a lot of, Twitter seemed very silly in the beginning, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see with more products being discovered and more being made, what effect that has.
I'd be interested to hear your guys' perspective. I've had a lot of thoughts about this before this week, and I haven't written anything about it. But I'm kind of sick of all the haters discounting stupid, silly apps and things like Yo. Even Orr himself admits that Yo in its initial version is silly. Like, people are not going to use it forever, but it's the start of something. It's an experiment. He spent like 8 hours on it. It's not like he invested like tons of his time building this silly app. But I think at the end of the day, these types of things can start encouraging new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it's now so much easier to build this stuff. Why not just throw it out there rather than, just thinking about it? So
it can't hurt. And I think it's also good for, the hardest thing to do in any sort of, with any sort of app is acquire users.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you look at these things and you see how they're able to acquire users, there's got to be methodologies and tips that you can learn from, what Yo did to, in your app. And so it's all part of, what I love is there's this constant kind of, learning and sharing in this community that goes on where, how people acquire customers today is totally different than they acquired 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Anything from design interactions to marketing to... There's so much that you can learn, and that's, frankly, this is going to sound like an ad for Product Hunt, but, you see so much on Product Hunt, new stuff that's experimental oftentimes, and I know that for many people, they use it as inspiration, they use it for ideas, and whether it's for their own product or some new product.
Right.
And sometimes they're being extra silly to stand out.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, there have been a lot of Yo clones, but, Yo is just so clever, and even Ethan is clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the name Ethan.
Yeah.
Like, if it was, some other, it was Joe, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just very...
It's quite as catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, this was fun, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank
you
so
absolutely.
Much.
Thanks for having us.
Is there anything you want to mention? Anything you want to plug in your portfolio?
I think we
surreptitiously plugged a bunch of stuff, right? Yeah. So yeah,
we were really clever about it.
Yeah,
the product you mentioned, you
I'm gonna pretend like we have like these notes that we're checking off. Like, did we talk about this one? We're sharing it back and forth, but we actually weren't. So,
anything you want to say to your kids?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I still do. Cool. Send them some like funny short URLs. Like, to you should prank your kids more often.
I really should. Actually,
they'll appreciate you for it.
Yeah,
I know it. Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thank you.